It's time to eat.
Get in my belly.
Sit down and get ready to consume an abundance of fantasy football knowledge from Russ Tucker and Evan Silva.
Me so hungry.
On the Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast.
Yeah, let's eat, baby. Week 17 in the National Football League, and thus the last monstrous Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast of the year. He is Evan Silva. He's the star, rotoworld.com. We are presented by fanvice.com, your one-stop shop for all your daily fantasy sports needs. FanVice has great tools, articles, even live streaming video casts. Make sure you follow them on Twitter at FanVice DFS, and check out the site, fanvice.com. Lots of DFS talk today, in fact. There's no doubt about it. We're going to be all over talking DFS since most people are already done with their leagues. I was fortunate, Evan, as you already know, because we've spoken, to win the Reality Sports Online League, my first ever fantasy championship, and ooh, it feels so good. Wouldn't have been able to do it without you, my friend, so thank you very much. I ended up getting second in the MFL 10 League, so I didn't cash in, but I was right there, second place, and then I barely missed the playoffs in the season-long league. So thank you again to all of you that, you know, entered to be in any of those leagues and all of the participants in those leagues. Congratulations to all of you. We, of course, will be doing at least three leagues again next year. It is so fun getting a chance to go up against you guys, the great listeners of the Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast. Whoever won, I think the guy that won the MFL 10 League was Evan's worst nightmare. He beat me by like 20 points. So he's coming into some money. Now before you buy something, you need to know what to do with your credit. What does that mean? Well, anything that you're going to buy, they're going to check your credit. Make sure it's good. That's why Capital One created the CreditWise app. So you can check your credit score anytime you want right in the app. Plus, it's free to everyone, Capital One customer or not. In fact, millions of CreditWise users have improved their score by 20 points or more, so download the app for free today. CreditWise availability will vary depending on ability to obtain your credit history from TransUnion. CreditWise is offered by Capital One Bank, USA, N.A. Learn more at creditwise.capitalone.com. All right, Evan, before we actually start with the games, you know, I said earlier, I know it's mainly DFS this week, but week 17, there's just so much uncertainty in terms of who's going to play, how much they're going to play, motivation, all those things. Do you look right at that as more of an opportunity for DFS, more of an opportunity to win or to cash in, or does it make your job a lot harder?
It's a really good question. I think that it can work both ways. It's definitely going to create some value, but a lot of the value will not be revealed until Sunday morning. It definitely makes my job harder. You know, I had the entire Buffalo Bills section written up already, on Tuesday, and then Tyrod Taylor gets benched, and I got to rewrite the whole thing, you know, with EJ Manuel at quarterback. We have coaches like Ben McAdoo saying that they will not bench starters, but no one believes that. You know, like the beat writers don't believe that. The people setting lines in Vegas don't believe that. It's, you know, there's a lot of uncertainty, and there will be surprises that occur Sunday morning, and there will be surprises that occur during the actual games.
Yeah, I think it's a really, really good point. It makes it tough, but I think for some people that also makes it more interesting. So let's dive into it, starting with Baltimore in Cincinnati. Neither one of these teams has, quote-unquote, anything to play for. So your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, although I think that John Harbaugh is the type of coach that isn't going to back down, is going to go try to win this game. And also, I mean, there have been some whispers that John Harbaugh might be on the hot seat. So I don't think that the Ravens are going to rest anyone. The Bengals already started to rest players. I mean, they're playing a lot of backups in that game against Houston. I think that a guy that stands out on the Bengals side is Rex Burkhead. You know, the Ravens, for the most part, have played solid run defense, although they have kind of declined in run defense late in the year. But all year long, they've given up a lot of catches and receiving yards to opposing backfields. And that's where Rex Burkhead can work. Last game, Jeremy Hill only played, I think, 13 offensive snaps. He's been battling a knee injury, just super, super ineffective. And the Bengals don't have anything to gain by continuing to play him, and they've already kind of transitioned to playing more backups. So I think that Rex Burkhead stands out. I think that Tyler Boyd might have a shot at a decent game here. And then on the Ravens side, you know, it's a bunch of – I mean, they're using three running backs at this point. Kenneth Dixon had more problems in pass protection last game against the Steelers. And, you know, it's going to be him, it's going to be Kenneth Dixon, and it's going to be Kyle Juszczyk, who vultured a touchdown. The pass catcher that stands out on the Ravens side would be Steve Smith. John Harbaugh has discussed how he thinks that this is – he called it, is this is a big deal for Steve Smith. Might be his last NFL game. He's got, like, beef with Bengals left cornerback Dre Kirkpatrick. They've had, like, you know, a war of words over the years. Steve Smith is going to want to go out with a bang. I mean, getting 237 receiving yards is a little bit unrealistic, but he does – he could jump into sixth place all time and pass Tim Brown with 237 receiving yards in this final game. So I think that Steve Smith is a really interesting daily fantasy play this week, and Rex Burkhead for the Bengals.
Thoughts on the Bengals offensively? Anybody other than Rex Burkhead?
Just Tyler Boyd. Is somewhat interesting, but I think that that's about it.
Let's move on and get to Jacksonville at Indianapolis. Another game. Basically, pretty much all the Sunday 1 o'clock games, the games that we'll talk about here in part one, they're basically all meaningless. The NFL does that by design. I don't know why they don't. I mean, I know why they don't, but it's pretty interesting that you think they'd have a little bit more intrigue in the early games. Jacksonville is at Indianapolis, and now that Doug Marone's in charge, Blake Bortles, Allen Robinson, I mean, their prices have to be pretty down. They lit up the Titans. It would seem to me like they might be a pretty good play this week.
Yeah, I would agree with that. The Jaguars were aggressive in the passing game last week. Six attempts of 20-plus yards, about 15 attempts of 10-plus yards. They do not have a running game at all right now, so they're going to have to move the ball through the air. I mean, it doesn't look like Chris Ivory is going to play. The Jaguars signed Daryl Richardson. They signed another back to their practice squad. Denard Robinson is expected back after missing the last three games with a high ankle sprain. You know, do not want to mess with running backs coming off of multi-week ankle injuries. TJ Yeldon was placed on injured reserve. So, even against the Colts, I don't expect the Jaguars to have success running the ball. And I think that they're going to have to move the ball again through the air. And I agree with you that Blake Bortles is again interesting. This is a game inside of a dome. Allen Robinson. They were moving him around more than usual last week, treating him like a true number one receiver. Marcus Lee caught a touchdown pass, threw another one on like a throwback to Blake Bortles. It was excellent design by the Jaguars. I mean, it was a trick play, but it worked to perfection. I think that Marquise Lee is in play as well. I think that those are the guys that you're looking at on the Jaguars. I mean, this game has the third highest total on the slate. It's only 47, I think. It's supposed to be a really low-scoring slate. Bortles, Allen Robinson, Marquise Lee.
What about for the Colts? I was pretty disappointed with their performance in Oakland on Sunday.
Yep, and they lost Dante Moncrief during the game. I don't think that Dante Moncrief is going to play. He re-injured the shoulder that cost him 5 games earlier in the season. I think that he will be out. So, T.Y. Hilton, Dante Moncrief has missed, I believe, 8 games over the last 3 seasons, and in those games, T.Y. Hilton averages 11 targets per game and 116 receiving yards per game. The matchup is not great against the Jaguars. T.Y. Hilton does play a lot in the slot. I think Jalen Ramsey he played a lot in the slot at Florida State, and I think that he might chase T.Y. Hilton into the slot. However, I like to bet on T.Y. Hilton, even in difficult matchups. And with no Dante Moncrief, he should be a target monster. The Colts are taking this game very seriously. Here's a quote from Chuck Pagano. "This is an opportunity to get to 8-8, and we signed up for 16 games. We're going to finish and finish strong." He called it a huge game coming up at home against a division rival. So the Colts are going all out to win this one. Frank Gore needs 36 rushing yards. To get to 1,000, he would become the first running back age 33 or older to get to 1,000 since John Riggins in 1984. I think he can get there. I don't think that Frank Gore has a big game. Jaguars have been great in run defense, but the tight end situation is very much a timeshare. Jack Doyle continues to be the best option, but not a great option in general. So looking at Luck and looking at T.Y. Hilton and really not anybody else here.
Yeah, and, you know, I will say this for Pagano. I think coaches really want to avoid having losing seasons on their record. You know what I mean? I do think there is a difference between 7-9, 8-8, 8-8, 9-7 for coaches, just the way it's looked at in terms of losing seasons, non-losing seasons, winning seasons, those type of things. Not something that needs to be worried about for this Patriots-Dolphins matchup. The Patriots have a lot at stake, namely cementing the number one seed. The Dolphins really don't. I guess that they could potentially be the 5 or the 6, depending on what happens with Kansas City. Adam Gase says they're going to play their guys. We shall see how that ends up playing itself out. But your thoughts on this one, Pats, Dolphins, Sunday 1 o'clock in Miami.
Well, I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, that the Dolphins can play the Texans instead of traveling to Pittsburgh if they win. Is that correct?
Well, it's not just if they win. So if they win and the Chiefs lose. So they get the number 5 seed if they win and the Chiefs lose. If they win and the Chiefs win, the Chiefs still have the number 5 seed. Or the Raiders have the 5 seed.
All right. Yeah, this is a tough one for the Dolphins because you have the threat of them resting starters, either for the full game or for a portion of the game, and you have no matchups really like standing out, and you have Jay Ajayi. He got banged up at the end of last week's game, and he's obviously the Dolphins' offensive centerpiece. you know, this is a tough one for the Dolphins. I mean, like, let's say even like if Jay Ajayi is declared inactive before the game, you know, it's probably going to be an ugly multi-back committee with Damian Williams and Kenyon Drake and, you know, a bunch of guys that you know, aren't going to get a ton of carries against one of the better run defenses in the league. And I mean, I went through, you know, all the receivers. I don't want to play anybody from the Dolphins this week.
How about the
Patriots side? Yeah. On the Patriots side, I mean, I think that pretty much everyone is in play. I mean, you know, all the prominent starters. The Patriots do need this game. They lock up the number one seed in the AFC with a win. They are, you know, big favorites here. I guess it could turn into a blowout if the Dolphins rest starters, but I mean they're on the road, and I don't necessarily see this game as a blowout. I would expect it to stay relatively close for at least a couple of quarters, if not three. LeGarrette Blount, I think, stands out with the best matchup on the Patriots. The Dolphins have given up 5.6 yards per carry to opposing running backs over their last five games. Blount had a huge game against them in week two. He's averaging 18 touches per game since the Patriots' week nine bye. Deion Lewis has started to get consistent work over the past 2 weeks. Still not playing a lot of snaps, but when he's in there, they're getting him the ball. I would still rather play LeGarrette Blount than him. Deion Lewis' passing game usage has been disappointing. James White has been used a lot more in the passing game over the past 2 weeks, which is when Deion Lewis's role has increased. He's only seen four targets during that stretch. James White has seen 12. So, you know, ultimately they are still sharing that passing back role, and that makes them less attractive in fantasy, while LeGarrette Blount continues to be very, very appealing. Tom Brady, I mean, this can be a big game for him, absolutely. He has thrown multiple touchdown passes in 8 of 11 starts. The Dolphins have gotten lit up by quarterbacks recently. I mean, they gave up that huge game to Flacco, gave up a huge game last week to Tyrod. I mean, Sammy Watkins burned them up badly. And Colin Kaepernick also had a big game recently against them. The pass catchers for the Patriots, Julian Edelman's snap rates, his playing time, have been in steady descent over the past 5 weeks. Only played 50% of the snaps last week, still getting a lot of targets. I mean, he plays on passing downs, and that's really what's most important. He's gone over 70 yards in 7 straight games. But you know, he's not having like big upside games, not scoring touchdowns. And I think that's a little bit of a concern. We saw Sammy Watkins burn up the Dolphins minus Byron Maxwell last week. I think Byron Maxwell, you know, he's a question mark. I think he's got a high ankle sprain. I think that if he is out, Malcolm Mitchell becomes more interesting. Martellus Bennett scored a touchdown last week, and the Dolphins have gotten gashed by tight ends recently. Most recently by Charles Clay, who has somehow strung together 3 monster games in a row. But Martellus Bennett only saw 2 targets. So I like Tom Brady individually. I'm not really sure what pass catcher to pair him with in daily fantasy. But I like Tom Brady and LeGarrette Blount on the Patriots side.
Let's move on to Minnesota and Chicago. The Vikings are hosting the Bears. Adam Thielen, Cam Meredith. Is it an Adam Thielen, Cam Meredith double stack special?
Yeah. You know, I don't know. I don't even know what to make of the Vikings defense. I would, the last thing that I would expect from a Mike Zimmer team is to have, like, you know, all the issues that they have had, and to not know on a weekly basis whether this defense is gonna show up at all. I mean, I just would not have expected that at all from a Mike Zimmer team, but that's where we are. I like Jordan Howard on the Bears side. The Vikings, even when they've been at their best, have not been they've not played shutdown run defense by any means. I think that this game will probably stay close. I mean, I just don't see the Vikings offense as, you know, a juggernaut that's going to jump out to a big lead, even against another defense that has been pretty weak this year, and especially late in the season in the Bears. So I think that the game can stay close. Jordan Howard can be fed a lot of volume. Jordan Howard has been outstanding, and I think that he can have a really solid game. He tore up the Vikings when these teams played earlier in the season in that Monday night upset win by the Bears. He had 202 yards from scrimmage and a touchdown in that game. I think that he can be successful again in week 17, and I like him in daily fantasy. For the pass catchers, you know, you want to go after the Vikings on the interior. This is how Jordy Nelson ended up having a lot of success last week. Randall Cobb was like a surprise inactive before the game, and Jordy Nelson took over essentially as, I mean, I wouldn't say a full-time slot receiver. He was about half and half, but his slot snaps increased considerably with no Randall Cobb. And they used Geronimo Allison, an undrafted rookie, on the outside opposite Devontae Adams. And Jordy Nelson, I mean, you know, I went back and watched all his targets. He was lining up against linebackers and safeties predominantly. And I mean, he scored both of his touchdowns against a linebacker and a safety. So, you know, when we're looking for pass catchers to target against the Vikings, we want to use interior pass catchers. And that would be Cameron Meredith, who's become a slot receiver 75% of the time in the Bears offense at this stage of the year. It's Deontay Thompson and Josh Bellamy kind of rotating on the outside, mostly Deontay Thompson, and then Alshon Jeffrey on the outside, and then Cameron Meredith in the slot. So again, you know, I've picked Cameron Meredith to lead the Bears in receiving in three straight weeks. I'm going back to him again. I think he can have another really good game against the Vikings. So those are the two Bears that stand out to me this week, Jordan Howard and Cameron Meredith.
And for the Vikings?
For the Vikings, I have not totally broken down their offense yet. You can read my column for this later in the week. I mean, Adam Thielen, I think, is their best receiver right now, and I think that Kyle Rudolph is always in play. I mean, Adam Thielen has like 300 more yards than Stephon Diggs since week three. So I think that, you know, just off the top of my head, those guys stand out a little bit. I need to do a little bit more work on their offense, and they will be all written up in my column.
RotoWorld.com, as most of you already know. Let's get to the Buffalo Bills and the New York Jets. You referenced the Bills earlier. It looks like no Tyrod Taylor. They don't want to take the chance of him being injured and having to guarantee his $27.5 million if he can't pass a physical in March, which means really that they don't think Tyrod Taylor is a long-term guy, at least when they have the flexibility of the new coach not thinking that. So they're having instead the guy that drafted EJ Manuel and traded up a first-round pick for Sammy Watkins to move up six spots when he could have stayed there to take Odell Beckham Jr. He's heading up the coaching search. This will be Doug Whaley's fourth head coach during his time in Buffalo. Good luck, Bills fans. So, Bills, Jets in this one. It's Fitzpatrick against E.J. Manuel. It should be Cardale Jones against Christian Hackenberg, because there's a prayer in hell that either one of those guys will be on those teams' roster next year. But instead, each one of these teams are going to play guys that they know fully well are not going to be on their teams next year. Evan.
Yeah, that's a funny breakdown. Yeah, you know, Tyrod Taylor would have lit up the Jets, and this is it's frustrating. You know, the Jets have given up 14 touchdown passes over their last five games. You know, their players are calling out each other for not giving full effort because they aren't giving full effort. You know, Tyrod Taylor would have ripped this one wide open, but we're going to get E.J. Manuel. So, I mean, I really don't know what to expect. I mean, E.J. Manuel has played 27 games in the NFL. He's thrown multiple touchdown passes in five of those games. He started 16 games. You know, I've always thought that he is a player who, when he's been on the field, just plays without confidence. You know, kind of, I mean, has like an intriguing skill set, you know, a big body. He is a pretty good athlete. I think he's a really smart kid, and he's got a good arm. It's just you know, doesn't have the it factor or whatever. I mean, I don't know. You know, I think the matchup is good enough for him to play well. It's just, I really just have no idea what to expect. You know, we barely ever get to see E.J. Manuel play. Sometimes he looks good in the preseason. Sometimes he looks horrible. So just no idea. I mean, do you think we're going to get a full game out of LeSean McCoy here?
Yes, because I think Anthony Lynn wants to win, because I think Anthony Lynn thinks he's got a shot at the head coaching job and wants to make sure they win.
Very, very good point. Very good point. Then I think LeSean McCoy is an awesome, awesome, awesome play this week. Do not care that the Jets, you know, have a good run defense on paper. LeSean McCoy is incredible. The Jets have given up 33 points per game over the last month. You know, David Johnson is the number one overall running back play, bar none, this week. And I think that LeSean McCoy is number two, you know, assuming that we get a full game out of him. And I agree with your reasoning that we probably will. Wanted to like Sammy Watkins a lot against the Jets. Such a good matchup. But he becomes a lot less reliable, I think, with E.J. Manuel at quarterback. With that said, I mean, the target should be there. I think he becomes a little bit more volatile of a play. Mentioned earlier how Charles Clay is just on fire, and the matchup is sweet against the Jets. They've given up seven touchdowns to tight ends over their last four games. Again, E.J. Manuel being the quarterback just adds a lot of uncertainty there. I would have loved the Bills' offense if Tyrod Taylor was starting. I think they could have hung like 40 points on the Jets, but you know we're not going to get that. So I think it's LeSean McCoy, who should be a really high floor play with huge upside against the Jets, and then you know Sammy Watkins and Charles Clay and E.J. Manuel, all in good spots, but just a lot of uncertainty.
Anything on the Jets at all?
Ryan Fitzpatrick at quarterback. Bilal Powell. I mean, the Bills have been bad in run defense, and we just saw them get gashed by Jay Ajayi for over 200 yards for the second time this year. So I think we can definitely go back to Bilal Powell. He was disappointing last week, but the usage was there, and he is going to and he has a better matchup. So, I think we're looking at Bilal Powell and then pretty much no one else.
Dallas is in Philadelphia. I know the Eagles really want to win this game, finish up. Two wins at home, wins over the Giants and the Cowboys would be huge. Cowboys are acting like they're playing their guys, but now there are reports out there that Mark Sanchez might play in this game a little bit. You know, McFadden played more in the second half on Monday night, gave Zeke more of a break. And speaking of logic and reasoning, Jerry Jones says Romo won't play because it's not worth risking the injury, but his starting quarterback that's 13-2 and he's hoping to win the Super Bowl with, Dak Prescott, evidently will play. But I'd be surprised if it's the entire game. So Cowboys become a tough one.
Agree. They're one of the toughest ones because we're sort of getting like mixed messages from the team. And the fact that they've already ruled out Tyron Smith, you know, their stud left tackle, that makes it a lot more logical to me to expect them to rest Dak Prescott early. So I think we'll see Dak Prescott get a quick hook. Ezekiel Elliott is 177 yards short of Eric Dickerson's all-time rookie rushing record. I mean, I think that if he plays four quarters, he could, you know, that's very much within striking distance. However, I don't trust him to play the full game. I mean, Darren McFadden was in there for the last quarter and a half last game over him. I know it was a blowout, but you know, they weren't trying to get him the record last week.
Correct.
So, yeah. So, this offense is really hard, man. I don't even know what to say about
the All right, let's offense. Just go to the Eagles it's offense really then.
Yeah. This one is not super, super easy either. I mean, I think that Zach Ertz and Jordan Matthews both have good matchups. They both have bankable usage. And I mean, they're both pretty good players and they can be used with confidence. I think Zach Ertz might be like a top five tight end play this week. We saw Eric Ebron kind of break out of his shell against Dallas. Dallas has given up production to tight ends all year long. And then the running backs, this is very difficult because the entire backfield is on injured reserve, leaving behind Darren Sproles, Byron Marshall, and on the practice squad, a kid by the name of Terrell Watson. And I don't know. I mean, I guess right now Darren Sproles looks like he could get a lot of work in this game. And I think that he is intriguing on paper right now. You know, let's see how the rest of the week plays out. But Darren Sproles at this moment on Wednesday morning when we are recording this looks pretty interesting.
All right. Well, let's keep it moving here in part one, and let's talk about the Cleveland Browns and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Steelers, another one of those teams that don't really have much to play for in their game, and Cleveland, of course, would love to get a second win.
Yep. So Mike Tomlin and the Steelers top beat reporter Ed Bouchette have both said that the Steelers are going to rest starters in this game, which is something that we should expect at this point. You know, so that is going to leave behind Landry Jones. We don't want any part of Landry Jones. Eli Rogers is mildly interesting, I think, against Cleveland. The Browns have been bad against slot receivers. Eli Rogers is pretty good. You know, with Antonio Brown out, with no Ladarius Green is not playing this week. With those guys out, I mean, Eli Rogers could technically be the focal point of the Steelers' passing game. The running back situation, you know, since Le'Veon is not going to play, you would think it would be D'Angelo Williams potentially getting a monster workload. However, D'Angelo Williams has been out with a knee injury. I mean, and he's been back recently, but he hasn't been playing any snaps. And I think that his injury, you know, his health status is still a question mark. And he's the second most valuable running back on the team. Do they really want to subject D'Angelo Williams to being out there? I mean, if they lose, I mean, you remember last year what happened when they didn't have Le'Veon Bell and D'Angelo Williams. They became such a one-dimensional team, and they were, you know, they were almost not competitive on offense. And it could very well be a Fitzgerald-Tucson game. So I think that that's a situation to monitor. Fitzgerald Toussaint could be a guy in DFS who provides value, but I don't expect to get a clear picture on that until Sunday morning.
How about for the Browns?
I think it's going to be Cody Kessler at quarterback. I think that that is good news for Terrell Pryor in theory. Terrell Pryor had some of his biggest games this year with Cody Kessler at quarterback. However, Terrell Pryor is also playing with this hand injury, which may partially explain why his production is so down right now. You know, the backfield, Isaiah Crowell, you know, he doesn't get enough work week to week. I mean, he can have solid games, but it's a split backfield with Duke Johnson. You know, I think that he becomes more interesting like Sunday morning if we find out that the Steelers are going to rest a bunch of their best run defenders. And, you know, I think in that scenario he becomes more interesting. But right now, as we're recording this, not a whole lot of interest in the Browns running backs.
Carolina is at Tampa Bay. Two more teams. The Bucks, you know, I guess on paper have something to play for, but not really. I mean, they need a million things to happen, including a Redskins-Giants tie. They're done. They know it. They put Cam Brate on IR. Doug Martin is going to be inactive for this game again. I don't know what's going on there, but it's bizarre. So what does that mean for them going against the Panthers?
Panthers have played really good defense recently. I mean, some people in the fantasy community have continued to try to attack the Panthers, and it just has been unsuccessful. You know, myself included in that Monday night game with Kirk Cousins. I mean, just did not happen. Kirk Cousins has been good in every single game except for that game, like, you know, since week five. I think for the Buccaneers, the player who stands out, though, is still Mike Evans. The matchup is not ideal. You know, the Panthers have slowed down Amari Cooper. They've slowed down Julio. They've slowed down Tyrell Williams lately. You know, it's not an ideal matchup. But the removal of Cam Brate from the offense just gives Mike Evans like a vice grip lock on all red zone work. I mean, Cameron Brate was second among tight ends in red zone targets, second among tight ends in all NFL tight ends, I'm talking about here, in targets inside the 10-yard line. I mean, Mike Evans should go back to being a target monster in this game. You know, it's not easy to run on the Panthers at all. And The Bucks are probably going to have to throw the ball to really move it in this game. So I think that Mike Evans is a guy who may go overlooked a little bit this week in daily fantasy, but this could be like a 15-target game for Mike Evans with Cameron Brate out of the way. You mentioned how Doug Martin would be inactive, and that's true. That was reported by the Tampa Bay Times. Jacquizz Rodgers going to be the lead back. Charles Sims going to be the change of pace back. Charles Sims, since coming back from IR return, has not gone over 7 touches in any of his games, and he's not really usable in any sort of fantasy league on such low volume. Jacquizz Rodgers was okay last week. The matchup is tough. I think that he'll get 17 touches or so against the Panthers, but not too interested in him. I think that Mike Evans is the guy that is interesting just because he could get so many targets.
What about for Carolina?
We got Cam playing through the shoulder injury, not playing well. He popped up for that big game against Washington, but other than that, he hasn't played well for the last month and a half, arguably even longer. The Bucs defense has only given up 5 touchdown passes over its last 7 games. So not a lot of love for Cam this week. Jonathan Stewart is okay. Kelvin Benjamin made a few plays last week. That's nice, but I don't love the Panthers pass catcher core here against the Buccaneers. I think that Greg Olsen is always a solid play in general. Ted Ginn needs a 30-yard touchdown, or else he's not going to do anything in fantasy. He's been good in 4 of his last 6 games, and in the four games where he was good, he had a 30-plus yard touchdown in all 4 of those. So that's what you're relying on with Ted Ginn. I think that's pretty much all I got on the Panthers.
Last game here for part one, Evan. It's the Houston Texans, the Tennessee Titans. Titans will go with Matt Castle at quarterback. Mariota's done. The Texans once again going with Tom Savage. Lamar Miller's status is up in the air. Savage, I was a little disappointed, especially early in the game, with how slow he looked in the pocket and how long he was holding on to the ball. I was a little disappointed by that. What do you got for Houston, Tennessee?
Yeah, kind of sloth-like. But in the second half, not that they started lighting it up by any means, but they started to use some tempo, and he looked a little bit more comfortable. So that was nice to see, but I completely agree with you that, he's got to speed up his, I think like Jaws would use the term, his internal clock. He's got to do everything faster. And right now I really don't want any part of him in fantasy or in daily fantasy. The Titans have been a pass defense that will bring your quarterback and your receivers to life. Even when they have been struggling, they've given up top 12 fantasy games to Blake Bortles twice, Trevor Siemian, Matt Barkley, Cody Kessler. The matchup is beautiful for Tom Savage, but I think that based on what we've seen so far out of him, he's a guy that moves so slowly that he makes the offensive line look worse than it really is, and I think that is an issue. I don't think he's going to go light up the box score right now with the way that he's playing. If we get no Lamar Miller again, which I don't expect him to play, The Texans are, it seems like the Texans, so the Texans, they can't move at all in their seeding, right?
No, they're locked into the four seed, just like the Steelers are locked into the three.
Right, except, you know, they have this new quarterback, and, you know, this new quarterback needs to play. So he's going to play, the receivers are going to play, the O-line is going to play. I mean, the Texans are going to probably try to get this win. And they should be able to against Matt Castle. But I don't think they're going to push Lamar Miller to play. And I think it's going to be another game with a lot of Alfred Blue. He saw 25 touches last week. You know, he's not really a big play back, although I can think back and he's had like some crazy long runs. But his skill set does not suggest that he should be a big play back by any means. But he's definitely a guy that the Texans have always, under Bill O'Brien, they've always been willing to give Alfred Blue a lot of volume, and that has value in fantasy. And of course, you know, use him at the goal line. I mean, he's a big back. So I think that, you know, if Lamar Miller is out again, Alfred Blue, not a bad daily fantasy play. DeAndre Hopkins is just so frustrating. I mean, this is such an awesome matchup for him. We saw Allen Robinson come alive against the Titans last week. Titans have given up. So 8 different wide receivers have gone over 80 yards against the Titans over their last 6 games. That's a lot, you know. And DeAndre Hopkins would be the guy here to do that. But he's tough to trust, man. I mean, he has not had big games all year long. And, you know, to suddenly expect him to have a big game, I mean, the matchup is right for that. It just, it doesn't feel right, you know, based entirely on feel. And then Will Fuller had a big game against the Titans earlier in the season. His playing time is back to normal after dealing with a bunch of injuries around midseason. I think that, you know, if you, like, one interesting strategy this week would be to use Will Fuller in the Texans defense, which is going to be a good play against Matt Castle, because Will Fuller can return punts. He returned a punt 67 yards to the house when these teams played in week 4. So I think that is one interesting correlation play. But I just, you know, not a lot of confidence right now in the Texans passing game in general. Was hoping to see a little bit more from Tom Savage last week.
What about Castle and the Titans?
It's all these backup quarterbacks are playing, man. I mean, it's not a good matchup. Matt Castle is not a good quarterback. So I'm looking at the Texans defense. The Texans have been really tough in tight end coverage all year. They've allowed the 8th fewest catches and 3rd fewest yards to the position. They held Delanie Walker to 2 catches for 34 yards and no touchdowns when these teams played in week 4. So if they can kind of contain the best weapon on the Titans, and, you know, we're dealing with a backup quarterback, you know, those are big issues, I think, for the Titans offense. I want to see if we get any news later in the week on potentially Derrick Henry starting this game. I mean, DeMarco Murray had a great season, and I'm sure that he wants to be out there, but he turns 29 in February. The Titans don't have anything to gain by playing him. They do have something to gain possibly by playing Derrick Henry. Now, the Texans have been incredible in run defense, allowing 3.38 yards per carry to opposing running backs over their last 8 games. But I think that if Derrick Henry, you know, if like DeMarco Murray is inactive, I think Derrick Henry becomes very interesting in daily fantasy. I'm not sure that that's going to happen by any means, but that's something maybe to look for later in the week.
That'll do it for part one. Excellent stuff, Evan, as always, already fired up to record part two immediately. And then we will post it right after midnight so we don't mess with your precious podcast apps that go crazy when a podcast posts more than once in a day. So we'll get to the part two right now, post after midnight, so you guys are all ready for those of you that are in 17-week leagues or those of you that are just DFS pumped. Speaking of DFS, part one's been brought to you by FanVice.com, the home for all your daily fantasy sports needs. Keep an eye out for my Tucker in the Trenches segment that will be on FanVice.com every week this NFL season. And make sure you follow them on Twitter, at FanVice DFS. I'm stuffed. I'm full. Actually, I'm just stuffed and full part one. I still have some room for part two. We're done.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Feast Podcast. Make sure to also subscribe to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Even Money, and the College Draft Podcast, all available on iTunes at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.